college basketball fans. Welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall. I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss everything going on in the world of college basketball. And obviously, if you've been paying attention at home, there's a whole lot going on in the sport of college basketball. We are now officially in March. And as we know, March Madness is upon us. Really, this is like the last week of the regular season. Then we go to the conference final, we get to the conference final, conference tournament, and then Selection Sunday. Not this Sunday, but next Sunday. So 2 Mondays from now, we are going to be breaking down a bracket, which is always fun. And this is when the casual basketball fan, college basketball fan, starts to really get interested. You know what I mean? So we're definitely looking forward to it. And when we go through these, you know, we always try to update some of the major conferences and the races. Some of them are going to come down to the wire, like literally these next chunk of games, if you look at it, especially now in the Big Ten. I mean, Wisconsin, for Christ's sakes, could win the Big Ten. I mean, you really could make a case for that, because there's like 3 teams that have one loss. Or not one loss, but our one behind. So there's a variety of stuff. We're definitely going to recap the last couple of days. We had some really intense competitive games. We had some, I guess you could say, like blowouts in games that you thought may be competitive. We've talked about Kentucky these last couple of weeks. They are all but cruising. They locked up the SEC. So there's a variety of stuff that we'll recap from, like I said, the last couple of days, whether it's last night or from the weekend. And then we'll look forward to what we got going on this week. There are some games going on as we speak right now. Big games, actually, some of them. You got Maryland at Rutgers, which is always kind of an interesting matchup here at Rutgers. That's always a tough one. And Penn State has been on a slide of late. They're looking good, though, against a team that was on the up and up with Michigan State. They're up 46-34 at the beginning of the second half. So there is plenty of games that we'll talk about. Obviously tomorrow night, which, you know, by the time we get this out, I suppose it would be Wednesday by that time. Got a big one in the SEC, in the Big East. So there's a variety of ones that we'll talk about that we're going to look forward to, no doubt about it. It's really the Big East and the Big Ten. You can put the Pac-12 in there, even though it doesn't mean a whole lot per se as far as the national landscape, the national spotlight and stuff. You wouldn't think anyway. I mean, you never know, right? Anything can happen, which they tip the ball up in March. But, yeah, we're definitely going to look at some of these marquee matchups going on during the week and on Saturday and Sunday, which brings us all the way till next Monday in the conference tourney. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. If this is your first time listening, though, to the College Ball Show, you can stream it live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. You don't have to just listen to it on the blog talk. You can find the Ropeadope Radio podcast to listen to the College Ball Show really all across the internet, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Player FM, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Spritzer, Sticker, a whole variety of places, right? We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including Spotify. You can use your Siri or Alexa through Spotify or TuneIn or a multiple other things to find the platforms. And while you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. That's thegruelingtruth.com. It's basketball. It's football. It's boxing, it's baseball, it's everything in between. In fact, they did get a press pass. They got the press accolades for the NFL Combine. We tried to get them for the Final Four, which was in Minneapolis not long ago. We made it into the pool, but weren't quite able to get it. But like I said, head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. And then one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or maybe you have, and you're just not quite happy, you need something, some sort of cable package, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. I actually do use it. It's a 7-day free trial. There's no annual contracts. The plans start as low as $60 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. Now, if your internet is just not that good, let's say, right, or it's just so, you know, in your whole area, your region, a lot of places don't have strong internet once you get out of the city. They do have AT&T TV, okay? So that's not the streaming service, AT&T TV Now. And that's available in certain cities across the country, whether it's here in Minneapolis, Florida, New York, Texas, California, all the way up to the northwest in Seattle, other places like St. Louis and Topeka, Wichita, in the middle of the country. So you can just basically Google it, the AT&T TV, put your area code in there and see if you, not qualify, but see if it's actually in your area. Let's get into this, man. We got a lot to talk about. Like I said, we got some games going on right now that are crucial in the Big Ten. Like I mentioned, the Big East and the Big Ten, it basically is going to get decided. If Seton Hall wins tomorrow against Villanova, they'll have it. Now, they still have, you know, more to chew on the bone, but Villanova and Creighton stumbled the way Seton Hall did not that long ago. So this thing is going to come down to the wire, including, you know, games like Illinois and Ohio State the day after on Thursday. There's just a variety. Like I said, that Seton Hall and Creighton games on Fox. Louisville probably in the ACC has the toughest route left. Because they got to go at Virginia, who actually is playing fairly well now. And even on Sunday, as we wrap it up, Michigan, who's been playing really great of late, they really turned around their season. They're going to make the tournament now at Maryland, Ohio State, at Michigan State, Iowa, at Illinois. So talk about coming down to the wire. But before we get into this recap, let's talk a little bit about, you know, what happened over the last couple of days. Baylor slipped up and let their grip go. It's one thing to lose to Kansas. It's another thing to turn around and lose to who? TCU. Last night they had a tough game in overtime. They did manage to get by Texas Tech, 71-68. Duke beat North Carolina State. But they also dropped a game recently as well. From Sunday, we had Michigan State losing at Ohio State. Not the biggest thing there, 77-63. Stanford beat Colorado. That's one of my upsets of the week fell through for them. But yeah, that Baylor game, that was rough. 75-72. Baylor had such a great, 23 in a row? I think they won, and then they lose to Kansas. They had beaten Kansas previously, so they could still be in line for it, don't get me wrong, but they still kind of controlled their own destiny to at least tie, and they dropped to a scrappy TCU team, not a great, you know, TCU team at all, but a scrappy one. You look at Florida State, same thing. Okay, you're in the lead. You actually beat Louisville twice. Okay, what happened? Oh, we lost to Clemson, 70-69. Virginia, the team I spoke of, Louisville has to face on Saturday to try to wrap that thing up. It's going to be tough because they just beat Duke 52-50 in a Virginia-style game, only giving up 50 points. So there is some other games that we'll get into. Like I said, Michigan State had that big, big win at Maryland as well, 78-66. Seton Hall beat Marquette handedly, but Villanova lost to Providence. When you look at Providence's record, it's a little deceiving. They have some very, very quality wins. Iowa beat Penn State. Like I said, Penn State had been faltering of late. West Virginia continues to falter. And Texas is breathing life into their season. They still have a chance to make it. They got a win on the road, 68-58. And they've been on upgrading, basically. What happened with Baylor at TCU? It's one thing to grind it out and have a close game, but they go down 75-72, and it really hurts them. You know, it really does. Sure, they're 25-3. It doesn't hurt them long term for the tournament by any stretch of the imagination, but it hurts their seeding, and obviously it hurts their chance to, you know, win the Big 12 or at least get a tie for it. I wasn't expecting that one, Marshall.
You're still on. I mean they're not the regular season Kentucky of, oh God, what Vegas year was that? Of like 6 or 7 years ago. Okay, I mean this is a good team, but they don't quite have NBA players who can carry them for a whole season without a hiccup. And I mean they're still good. They're still arguably one of the best teams in the country. But again, I mean their record's still incredible. They had a slip up against a TCU team who, for the most part, normally has always been pretty good. I think Jamie Dixon's trying to rebuild the program. But, I mean, to say you lost on the road, it's like not the end of the world, okay? And then in the same regard, on that same day, Clemson knocks off Florida State. And Clemson, man, I know their record is pretty shitty. They're 15 right. and 13, and they're 9-9 in the ACC. But if you want to talk about resume wins, you beat Florida State at home. You also beat Louisville at home. You also beat Duke at home. Like, this, I mean, you want, those are three pretty damn good wins. Now, in between all those wins, they're pretty much followed with losses. They beat NC State, beat Carolina, beat Duke, then you lose to NC State, beat Wake, then you lose. I mean, they kind of went back and forth. But, you know, to beat Louisville, Duke, and Florida State at home, that's a hell of a team. And I think this goes to show the theme of our show through the whole year is that it's really going to be a super incredible March. We're getting really close to Selection Sunday, which I think would essentially, if my math's right, be in 13 days. This is about to be a really, really fun tournament, Chris, because we do not have a dominant team. And I would say there's probably realistically about 10 fan bases who think, hey, we could make it to the Final Four. I would say at least 10. So I think in a year normally where, you know, like when Carolina went in 09, I felt damn good that, hey, this was our year. And Michigan State put up a fight. But, I mean, that was a 2-3 horse race. That year when it was Kentucky, as I just mentioned, Wisconsin somehow beat them. But even Wisconsin, Duke, again, that was about 2-3 teams possible. This Final Four, the brackets this year are going to be super interesting because – you're really not going to have, oh, God, you know, you're not going to have the one guy at work that's like, oh, my Final Four, man, this is a lock. Well, no, because there's probably a legit maybe even 12 to 14 teams that should be in the Final Four this year from how they play when they're on. So, I mean, to see a weekend where Clemson beats Florida State and TCU beats Baylor and Virginia beats Duke, yes, that is surprising because those teams are good and those teams probably should win those games if they played again. But it kind of goes with the theme all year, Chris, of we've not had one dominant squad. Okay, Baylor slipped up. That's really not a big deal. The resume still might be the best in the country. But it's leading to a theme where I hope that that first week of Thursday through Sunday games is just much-watch TV. And maybe the top-ranked teams always have, and maybe the 1 and 2 seeds have a chance to win on that Thursday, Friday. But come Saturday, Sunday, you know, we've seen a team like Florida State or Duke or, you know, whoever, like that opening weekend, man, it's going to be so much fun because the regular season's just showing us how much potential. And once you kind of agree, Chris, that there probably are, in your opinion now, and maybe my number's too high, but about 12 to 14 teams that could be a Final Four team this year.
No, wait, it was just at 10. Now you're going 12, 14. I'm going 25. So my Gophers got a legit shot, is what you're saying.
I'm locking it. I think there's 12 to 14 teams who could legit have a Final Four run, and I don't think my number's normally that high, but with as crazy as this year's been, I'll stick with that.
Well, I have to look at the top 15 teams again just to get it in my mind and see what kind of quality wins they got. But to your point, yes. I mean, at least 10, I'd say for sure. I mean, it's going to be one of those things where, yeah, there'll be a one seed. There'll be a – well, maybe. I don't. The one seeds aren't going to be all – if San Diego State and Gonzaga's the one seeds, I see one seed making it maybe. You know what I mean? I don't know. We'll see. You got to actually see it. And that's another thing. Like you said, to your point, Baylor could, you know, just finish out take second place and then win the championship, you know, the conference final, and be a number one seed still. You never know. You know what I mean? So maybe Kansas, well, who knows, though. Kansas will probably take that over. But another game, Kentucky and Auburn. Auburn was a team that was winning a bunch of games. They went like 16 or 18-0, looking really good. They beat Kentucky in a competitive game that they closed out really well. They beat LSU, I believe, in overtime or double overtime. They were winning the tight games. It's kind of slipped. Now they're 24-5. Still a shot, like you said, to continue this year and be a damn good team, because they got the same record as Kentucky. It's just when you do it. And, you know, Quigley has been big. In that game, he had 12 boards, 18 points. He did have, they did have some foul problems. Richardson only played 18 minutes, but he was productive in that time. We know about Hagans. We know about Maxie. You know, they got some bigs. They got a slasher, and they got guys that can just attack the rim. And they got a couple of shooters now. It's more of a mixture veteran-type game, or team, I should say, which I think bodes well, you know, in the Sweet 16 potentially if they can get there. But I think Quigley of late, he was coming off the bench and he was starting and vice versa. He's really, really looked good. And like I said, those guys – they got speed. They just kind of look the part, but they looked really good, 77-66 or 73-66. When I say really good, they didn't shoot the ball well at all. I think they had, like, hit two threes or something like that. So to look or to win it cleanly and not have your best day, that usually bodes well, no doubt about it. So Michigan State, who's, you know, we've documented them a little bit, how they did have some problems. It does seem like they're fully healthy now, but even when they've been healthy these last month or so, they had some issues. You know what I mean? They definitely had some issues. Cassius Winston's the guy that come tourney time, you know he's going to be on. He had a big game. They won 78-66. It was about time that Maryland, you know, starts to lose some games. I think it's kind of been that way in this conference and all these bigger conferences, but especially the Big Ten. You kind of go through waves of winning and losing. But, you know, now you look at, there was a three-game losing slide at the beginning of February for Michigan State, at Wisconsin, home at Michigan, and at Michigan. Or, I'm sorry, home at Penn State. And at Michigan. But you're talking about 64-63, 75-70. Now, Michigan beat them fairly handily in that game, to an extent anyway. They lost by double digits, basically. But now they got a win at Illinois. That was home. That's right. That's why it was so impressive that they got it. They lost to Maryland. Then they beat Nebraska. They beat Iowa. And now at Maryland. It's just been a bumpy road, but the crazy thing is, when you update the game, Penn State had a sizable lead, and here comes Sparty. They're up 51-49. What do you think about, well, the ever-changing, you know, obviously the ever-changing, ongoing Big Ten, of course, but Michigan State's starting to turn the corner a little bit now, and they're starting to look like that squad that could make a run.
Yeah, part of it's just Izzo doing his thing. Obviously, this is a lesser talented Michigan State team than we're used to. I mean, normally Izzo doesn't have a stretch where they lose like 4 out of 6 or kind of go in a funk like they really did. But you still have arguably one of the best coaches ever, who has one of the best college players in the whole country. So, I mean, when you have one of the best coaches in the country and a great player, like, you know, you'd assume, Chris, you're not going to have, like, a nosedive for the whole season. Like, there's going to be, you know, a moment where you kind of get your, you know, all your ducks in the same pond. And, it's March. So out of all the times for the year for everyone to get back on track, you'd assume Izzo would eventually kind of get the things figured out now. I mean, you're 20-9 on the year, which probably is a little more loss than they expect. And you're 12-6 in the Big Ten, which isn't really, you know, quite up to their standards. But I mean, just looking from simply just playing the odds, if you have Tom Izzo and you have Cassius Winston, who again, every time I've watched them play this year, he's had a bad day, but I guess I missed all of his good games. I really think you'd be a fool to count them out. Now, are they the best team in the Big Ten? Absolutely not. They're the Big Ten could be a debate for anyone. I mean, you could recommend for a while there, Illinois was the best team in the Big Ten. For a while there, Penn State was the best team in the Big Ten. I mean, Indiana's had moments. Maryland's had moments. It really is a crapshoot. So I think part of it is Michigan State's finding their groove, and part of it is this is not the best team he's ever had, and they've also been in one of the strongest conferences the Big Ten's had in a long time. I mean, for a decent run there, Chris, it kind of was like Michigan State was almost a guaranteed 2-3 seed at worst. And this right. is one of those years where the Big Ten literally, and we've broken this down almost every show as you always go through the standings, they're projected last week to have 9 or 10 teams make the tournament. And that normally doesn't happen in any conference. Maybe occasionally the ACC or the Big Ten, and you'll hear people say that, but come Selection Sunday, it's like, oh, well, they had 8 instead of 10. Like, this has a legit 10 deep, could make the tournament, and you're not even letting in a scrub. Like, holy shit. Like, talk about a loaded conference. So, would I doubt them in when I doubt them in March? No, because that'd be stupid to doubt Tom Izzo. But is this a regular squad of his? No, because they've had some moments this year where they've been weaker than one would expect.
Yeah, I mean, they had moments last year and made to the Final Four, though, too. So,
true. I mean, you know got what I mean? The coach. Yeah, I know.
Well, and they do have talent, though. Let's not just say it's Cassius. You know what I mean? I mean, they have more talent than that. Henry, Tillman, they got some squad. They got a squad. So, especially when there is no great team this year. So, but you're right. I mean, I wouldn't put Indiana anywhere near the top this year, obviously, but mentioning them made sense because they've made a run. Same with Michigan and same with Ohio State. They really straightened out their year and have a legitimate shot, you know, to go to the big dance now. Whereas even a couple of weeks ago, Michigan and Indiana, it didn't look like they were going to make it at all. So yeah, that's kind of interesting. And then you look at Penn State and, you know, is it a case of, well, you know, we had a great run. We've put a lot of stuff on tape. Are we starting to see some faltering? You know, it's tough to say that all the way. We mentioned how, you know, a quality Illinois team, they lost on the road to them, or no, at home to them. Not the worst thing. They followed that up with a loss at Indiana, but like you said, it is still on the road. They won at a pretty good Rutgers team still. I think they've fallen back as well, obviously. But then they lose to Iowa, but that's on the road. So a lot of it's just schedule. And I remember saying this in the last show, like, dude, I mean, we can say, oh, they're leading or Maryland's leading this conference or whatever, but it really, in the end, it really doesn't matter right now. I mean, it matters, of course, but this thing is just, it's coming down to the wire. And this is going to be the best close to the conferences this year. It's not, I mean, besides Pac-12, you know, I do think we'll break them down a little bit, but I think we're going to see a lot of like 4-5 seed to like 4, 5, and 6s are going to be a lot of the Big Ten. Any other games you want to talk about from Saturday or any other topics while we're recapping?
And let me just lock this in one more time, Chris, because I'll say it now. It's on March 3rd. Penn State guaranteed Sweet 16. Well, I wish Vegas make bets like that, but right now I'm saying guaranteed Penn State makes the Sweet 16.
You've been on that for a little while now too, and I like how you're staying with it, even though they made took a couple losses, which were all respectable. It's not like they got blown out by somebody crappy at home or something.
No, and the reason I picked that is just because when I've seen their offense click, I think they have one of the better offenses in the country. Now, with that being said, they got that Lamar Stevens, who's a great player, but they're maybe not the most consistent team as you'd have in maybe like in a Kansas, Baylor, or a Duke. But when their offense goes, man, they score points pretty effortlessly. So I think they're going to find their way into the second week of March. So I got that liked on the podcast now. Hopefully it turns out to be true so I can brag about in like 3 weeks.
Well, and I can't believe you said consistency in Duke of late. That really threw me off because that's not the case. They looked like they were going to close strong and maybe walk away with the ACC title after their win February 10th over Florida State. I think that bumped them up, or Louisville and them were right. It's been neck and neck with those three. Virginia has joined the bunch for certain reasons, but here we go, dude. February 19th, not even that long ago, lose. Hold on. They got their ass kicked, and I know that's got to sound good to you, but 88-66, they got swamped. Then, you know, they won a game, but then at Wake Forest, you know, was it Chris Paul that went there? Was that, oh yeah, Chris Paul. Chris Paul and Tim Duncan aren't coming walking through that door. Wake Forest, dude, they got beat, and they gave up 113 in regulation. And then turn around. This was so crazy. They turn around, and they scored 101, by the way. And they turn right around and cut it in more than half, 50. Lose 52-50 to a rising team in Virginia. What is going on with Duke? This is kind of a microcosm of what's going on this year. We just don't know who's all that great. There's some very good teams. There's some good teams. There's some crafty teams. There's the Gophers that suck. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But what's going on with your arch rival, being a Kakalaka fan, with the Blue Devils?
I think that they're just really not a good road team this year, and they just lack. I started rattling off blue blood schools. I actually mentioned
they don't got Zion. Zion's not coming back.
They
hey,
could
by
use
the way,
them.
Whoever said Zion was going to be a bust, you might as well just move out of the country.
Oh, that's such a stupid. Yeah. Now,
does
ESPN love to glorify the kid? Sure, but I mean, why not? He's a likable person, seems to have a charming personality. I mean,
he's backing it up, too. He's backing it up with stats. It's not like they're just like, oh, my God, he scored 14. You know what I mean? He's backing it up.
Yeah, he's marketable. So, you know, I can't argue with that. But, I mean, for Duke, I mean, they should have lost four road games in a row if Carolina doesn't have, you know, a massive meltdown twice. So, I just don't think this Duke team is that talented. I mean, I watched them play, and this was a while ago, but I watched Louisville just smoke them at home for a full game. Now, on a given day, can Trey Jones go off and control a game? Sure. But this is not your typical Coach K one-and-done two NBA play roster. I don't know if Duke – I mean, I could give two shits, but – I'm sure they have a big – I know the big that on their team, that guy's probably going pro. I don't even know the guy's name. But, I mean, they probably have some talented, but this isn't the Zion or
Barrett.
I mean, they've had
– like when we were talking about Michigan State, this – I think this applies a lot more what you said about Michigan State to Duke, because this is not a Duke team.
No. And then you got Coach K trying to defend his players, and he's like, you know – if you have a problem with me, walk into Duke Stadium, look him in the rafters. It's like, shut the hell up. Dude, I don't care. I can't stand it. I can't wait for him to leave. I think when he leaves, I'll hate them just a little less. Now, we'll lose part of the rivalry, sure. But, yeah, this isn't your typical Duke squad. So, anyways, whatever. They're just – when you can't win on the road really at all, or you're losing games to – teams you normally don't do that. Yeah, they're just not quite as loaded. But again, I mean, on a given day, could they beat Louisville or Florida State in the ACC? Sure. It really is just such a weird year of inconsistency. Speaking of inconsistency and bad luck, I truly wish a lot of negative karma upon SMU. A couple weeks ago when we did a podcast, I bet SMU to beat Temple, and SMU was up 17 points. And they were -1.5 on the road. They were up 17.5 at Temple and ended up losing in overtime. So you know what? I was like, you know what? It's been a while. It's been a minute. And let's go back to the well. I read a couple of gambling previews. SMU's in position for a win. I've not been super impressed with Wichita State this year. The game's at SMU. I'll bet SMU -2. I checked my phone. I was having drinks with a friend. SMU's up 13.5. Okay, they're up at 13, they're up at home. I got a -2. What could go wrong? Well, of course, they had flashbacks against their Temple game, and as I continuously checked my phone, it went from up 13, up 10, up 7, up 6. Okay, well, time to get the game out at the bar. and just proceeded to, I mean, hell, they were even up 8. They were up 5 with 2 minutes to go. And Wichita State started busting threes. SMU did the opposite, and I lose a game. So SMU has cost me a good chunk of change because I made 2 decently sized bets.
Right.
And when you're up a combined 30 points in 2 games and a half and you lose both bets, that's what you call bad beats. So I hope SMU loses every game for the rest of the year. And if they make any tournaments, NIT or anything, drug out, they get smoked. And I wish them negative karma for a long time because they've cost me a good chunk of change. You can't blow a game, especially at home. Maybe the Temple game on the road, I get it. But you're up 13 at home. Like, those are games you're not supposed to lose. But I digress. Because the other bet I made that day, Chris, was I took my Creighton boys, who won 9 out of 10. And they walked into St. John's, and St. John's shot the ball like they were the Golden State Warriors of 2 years ago. Just to summarize that, and I'll get on my soapbox of ranting here. St. John's scored 91 points, which is a lot. St. John's on the year had shot three-pointers at 33%. They shot the three ball on Sunday at 63%. So my Sunday starts off with seeing Creighton get smoked and losing money. I doubled down on SMU, which was good at half, and SMU choked. Needless to say, Chris, I'm taking a couple of days off. I'm going to lay off the bets for a while. Obviously, come March Madness, I'm back in the game. But Sunday was a kick to the groin for bets on basketball. My Blue Jays let me down, and SMU choked again. That's the end of my Sunday rant. I'll throw it back to you.
All right. It's not Sunday, but okay.
The games were Sunday.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, so kids listening, you know, try to bet better or just don't bet. I don't know. or take the emotion out of it, although that's very tough to do. So we got a game tomorrow night. It's a big game. Seton Hall versus Nova.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Seton Hall kind of faltered a little bit. They had a 3-game lead. It dwindled down to 1 with Nova and Creighton right behind. Creighton and Nova took some losses that we weren't expecting. You just described one of them in great detail. And the other one was Providence, 58-54 at home, Providence, too, for Nova. But before that, they had been on a decent run to where it looked like, okay, they're probably going to do this. You know what I mean? Seton Hall, and this is tomorrow night, they already beat Villanova at Villanova. This one here is going to be at the Prudential Center. Yeah, it is. Okay. I was like, wait, that's not Philly, but I was looking at it wrong. That's Jersey, Seton Hall, the Pirates. So that place is going to be bumping, but it's not going to be just Seton Hall because they're in the area. You can get on the train and get there really quick. Like, it's not that far off. So I expect both sides to be representative. Maybe not as much Nova people, of course, but I think they'll be in the building to an extent. And I hate that, but they're, you know, Nova's in that area is popular on the East Coast because of the last 5 years anyway. You know how that goes sometimes with regions. Just sure. Like everybody jumped on Golden State, you know, not you, but a lot of people jumped on them on the West because it's like, hey, why not? It's a West Coast team or whatever. But, you know, Marshall, everything tells me that Seton Hall is calmed down now off their little losing streak. They beat Butler. They beat that St. John's squad easily. They beat Marquette at Marquette. Everything tells me Seton Hall is going to win this game. They beat them in, you know, Philly, in Nova. I guess I could say the same thing about Maryland beating Michigan State and turning right around. And to be honest with you, like I said, everything's telling me Seton Hall, but I think I'm going Nova on this. They don't have many players that have a ton of experience from these great teams. They got a great coach, you know, obviously. How do you see this one playing out, man? Because if Seton Hall wins, they got the Big East wrapped up. And that's another reason why I forgot to mention that. So it's just real easy, right? Oh, so all you got to do is, okay, so you just got to beat, no, you lose to Villanova. And then it opens the door for Creighton and Nova, Creighton and Seton Hall, who play on Saturday. So all this is kind of coming together in this Big East top 6, top 5 teams that we've been talking about. That's kind of like a poor man's Big Ten this year, the way it's been so competitive. How do you see this one breaking down, sir?
A good friend and co-host doesn't mention Seton Hall just destroyed St. John's after St. John just cost me money. Just, you know, I thought you could have left that out there. That was a little bit disrespectful.
It was a lot disrespectful. Not just a little.
Here's my take on the game. And I've seen Villanova, and I've bet them a couple times too. They massively, massively shoot the three. Like, it is live and die, massive three ball. Like, holy crap. Like, they shoot the three more than, like, when I watched them play that game against Temple, like, I think they had, like, 23 shots in the first half and 15 were three. So that's their style. But the thing that's interesting, Chris, is, and you've mentioned this a couple of times, the games where Seton Hall has truly sucked this year is due to lack of rebounding. But normally, in theory, when, you know, normally a lack of rebounding comes normally from teams like penetrating and driving. So I think with Villanova being a team that lives and dies on the three, and normally when you do that, you're sending people back for the sake of defense, I think that kind of protects Seton Hall's biggest weakness. Okay. Seton Hall has a big name Gill. That dude's just massive. I mean, they got a big center that protects the rim. But I really think overall, Chris, I'm going to take Seton Hall just because I think with a team that lives and dies by the three, I think it's hard to take advantage of a team on the rebounding board just because, again, you're normally not crashing the boards if you live on the perimeter. So I guess just with my insight on that, I'll take that just from the perspective of Villanova will have a tough time scoring and putting points up, and you're defending Seton Hall's weakness, which is getting rebounds, because Seton Hall personally can score. Villanova's defense isn't that great. Their defense, I'd say, is like most college teams, pretty average. Okay, you're kind of right in the they're not locked down. They're not awful. They're just kind of there. So I just think that big advantage of style differences is why I like the Pirates.
All right, that makes sense. So there isn't as much at stake for that game, and you want to be the party pooper, basically. I'm trying to, you know, pump up this trilogy and, like, you know, for Wilder Fury that's coming in July. But, you know, I'm trying to pump up this big game, you know, on Fox at 1:30 Central between Seton Hall and Creighton. It's still a big game, but if they win it, it really doesn't matter as much. But, hey.
I wish, man. Creighton's my adopted team. My Tar Heels right. Suck this year. That's the team I'll be cheering for. I just don't think they'll be playing for the Big East title because they had their slip up against frickin' St. John's fucking Golden State run. But yeah, unfortunately, I think that Seton Hall gets it done. Now, the one thing I will say, and this has surprised me because going into the year, he got a lot of credit, but there's been a lot of games this year where Miles Powell has not lived to the name that he got during the season. And mm-hmm. I remember even our first podcast, I'm like, look out for this guy. He's a really talented player. Now, is he good? Sure. But there's been more than a handful. I'm talking 4 to 5 games where he has either shot the ball just horrendously or just had an off day. And if you're looking at true college basketball players, like, I mean, I don't know, we can name guys
studs,
from Michigan State. Studs, like a true stud. They don't have 4 to 5 off days in conference play. So I remember at the start of the year when I'd mentioned that Miles Powell could be one of the best players in the country. He's not top 10. He's probably top 20. But if you want to be a top 10 player, I mean, you can't have these offenses, which scares me, Chris, for their potential. Because, okay, you've won the Big East. You could argue that's maybe the second overall talented conference. Now, the ACC top heavy is probably better. But the Big East is a great conference. But if Seton Hall's dependence is on one-star player, and he's had 5 to 6 off games in conference play, it's hard for them to maybe make a deep run. So, as you mentioned, they have issues rebounding. And the other issue is, if Miles Powell is an off night, okay, this dude that normally averages maybe 25 on a good night, gives you 10 on a bad night, holy cow, that's a massive difference to approach when he's the guy that normally handles the ball for you almost every possession coming down the court, Chris.
Yeah, that's a good call. The Big Ten, the way it closes, and like I said, we're gonna hit up these conferences. But dude, a Thursday night, Illinois at Ohio State, right? Then you have, even Wisconsin at Indiana is not an easy game, as we talked about Indiana. then there's Sunday games. Where the hell is this? Oh, it's frozen up. Okay, there we go. The Sunday games, like I mentioned, Michigan at Maryland, Ohio State at Michigan State, Iowa at Illinois. I mean, choose your pick there. I like Maryland at home. I think they'll weather the storm that they've kind of gone through a little bit. I'm not saying they're going to win the conference. I'm just saying I think they'll win that game. I think Michigan State beats Ohio State at home. And I'm wondering about Illinois, because Illinois has Iowa coming in. But then, like I said, they also have that game on Thursday. So, I mean, at Ohio State. So they may have the hardest close there. This thing is just nuts. Who do you like in some of those games?
Man, it is fun to talk about the Big Ten, because for a while, like on our podcast, hell, Illinois is looking like the best team in the Big Ten. I'm telling you, Chris, because they have that Usamiora, who's an incredibly talented point guard. But as we've seen, they were kind of on the pinnacle of their rise, and that's kind of drifted down a couple of weeks ago. So, all right, I'll take Illinois, though. I think they finish on a good note. Here, this is such a loaded, beautiful time. Also, did you mention Kentucky,
Florida? I was going with the Big Ten theme.
Oh, Big Ten. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, Big Ten. I hit the wrong button. So the Big Ten Saturday.
Well, I mean, Thursday and then Sunday. Look at the Sunday Big Ten.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
Couple of games there.
Jesus, you're right. Next, this whole weekend's beautiful, because even Carolina Duke gets played. I know that's not the high end game just due to the lack of the skills of Carolina, but still should be fun. Michigan at Maryland is going to be a fun game, just because Michigan, as you said, Chris, they started the year off hot with Jawan Howard as a new coach. They went into a pretty bad funk. Of late, they've been playing pretty damn good ball for the past month, but Maryland has been really, really strong at home this year. I know they've hit a little bit of a bump, and they're getting their butts kicked by Rutgers tonight bad.
Yeah.
But I'll take Maryland to win at home. Ohio State, I just don't trust them overall. They came out this year super hot. Then they kind of went to crap. They were unranked for a couple of weeks. I know they're ranked again now, but just for an overall big picture, they had a really long stretch of they were not ranked at all. And I know I guess I'm being a little hypocritical here, because I know I was ripping on Sparty, but Sparty, I think, has only been unranked for like 1 week this whole year. Like, I think Izzo dropped out of the rankings. Next week they were back. So,
Ohio State's still trying to turn the corner as a program to get back where they were in the 2000s, you know?
True.
So that's part
of it. So I'm guessing Michigan State's probably a 5 to 7 point favorite that game. I would take Sparty to cover. I think that the ranking near Ohio State's name is a little fraudulent for how consistent they've been this year. Now, could I be wrong? Absolutely. But I'll take Sparty. And Iowa at Illinois. Iowa is a massively different team at home and the road. If you look at Iowa's schedule at home, man, they look great, Chris. But on the road, they have literally gotten smoked a couple of games here, and smoked bad. So Illinois is obviously – I mean, both teams are obviously playing for seed in the Big Ten. But, I mean, it's maybe going to be senior night. Who knows? Normally this weekend's the lead up to that. The teams are a little more maybe psyched than normal. I will definitely take Illinois to win. I'll take Illinois to win by double digits.
Ooh.
I think they're just – yeah. I just think Iowa are they a tournament team? 100%. They're going to the tournament. Could they win a couple of games? For sure. But they've been a really bipolar team and have really struggled on the road quite a few games this year.
I'm going Creighton at home to wrap the thing up. But that's just, you know, you can't do that to wrap it up. You can say Creighton's going to win, though, if you want. But here's the other one that we're going to talk about. You talked about it minorly, the Louisville and Virginia. And hear me out on Virginia, okay?
Okay.
They have made a decent run here, okay? So, you know, they obviously lost plenty of pieces. They did win the national championship, and they're not a blue blood yet where they can just reload like it's nothing. You know what I mean? But, dude.
That's not really their style either, for one and dunce at all.
Yeah, you're right. So late January, they beat Florida State, and it faced Florida State in a competitive game and lost, right? Then they beat Clemson, not the best win, but Clemson's obviously not a chump. They lose to Louisville 80-73 on the road. Once again, nothing to, you know, to cry about or nothing like that. But now they've been on a run. So they've beaten mediocre teams for a while, right, beyond that. I think it was like five in a row or something like that. Nothing that stands out. And it's fun to say mediocre and mean North Carolina in that schedule. But that's different. But they beat your anti-Duke squad. They just beat Duke now. So they managed to beat Florida State. They lost a close one to Florida State and Louisville, a competitive game. Can they beat Louisville at home to close the season? I guess that's what I'm getting on too.
From the little
bit I've
seen them.
Not can they, will they.
Yeah. Louisville has not looked super impressive to me. I know, again, teams that have ebbs and flows, they were trending up, like for the, like, January for sure, and even into February. But they had a couple of upset losses there in a row. I think they've gotten a track a little bit. But, again, I don't think their defense is that great. And you got to play really good defense against Virginia because they're going to make it really hard for you to score. The few times I have watched Louisville play, they have a couple of three-point shooters, but that's really it. I watched them play against Syracuse, Chris, and Syracuse's zone is not nearly what it used to be, but they had trouble going down low at all. And so at least from, again, it's a small sample size, but Louisville's offense is really predicated on a couple of guards jacking up threes. And if that's your game plan against Virginia, I mean, they're probably going to lock that down just like they normally do. And I'll take a more consistently based defensive team than an offensive team. So I'll take Virginia with the win just because I think they've been playing better basketball for the past month than Louisville. And like I said, I don't trust Louisville to drive the perimeter at all. And I think if you try to beat Virginia by threes, you're kind of playing into their hand for winning the half-court battle.
I thought you were going to pick Louisville the way you started that thing.
that's all the tease, sir.
Yeah, you got me, dude. I hung there, and I was about to lay it on you, and then there you go. You picked who I was going to pick, Virginia. I was trying to, you know, lead you down that road. Another thing is, dude, they're only a game and a half out. You got Louisville, who's up, Florida State a half a game behind, Duke a game, and then one and a half. I mean, they've closed pretty damn well, dude, so I'm with you. I think that's I think they kind of got that nothing to lose type thing. And then, like I mentioned, Seton Hall has a two-game lead over Creighton and Villanova. They just got to win one of the next two games, and they'll be good to go. Dayton's still winning. They've won 18 in a row now. They did have a tight one 2 games ago, Rhode Island, I think it was. But another one we've been keeping track a little bit of, the American Athletic Conference. It's been kind of all over the place. And this week, Houston and Tulsa are tied 12-4 there at the top. And you got Cincinnati only game out, Wichita State only 2 games out. So that's been, you know, an interesting one to watch. Houston, you know, has, I believe they did beat them. Let me check. Yeah, they just beat them. So they beat them twice. No, they didn't. So they have at UConn, which is not UConn. I think the women's team's better. And then they got Memphis, which we know the stud at Memphis, Winston's not even playing. So they should be able to close that out and take down the conference. But we'll see. We'll definitely see. Like I mentioned, Baylor kind of screwed themselves. They need Kansas to lose now. But when you get to the frickin' Big Ten, dude. And this is obviously going to change tonight as we speak, but this is nuts, dude. Wisconsin is the fourth team, and they have the easiest route to win. I'm not saying it's just a walk in the park because Indiana is involved, and they've, you know, like I mentioned, they've improved. But they have, you know, they have the easiest route to get there. And that would be crazy if you think of that squad winning the Big Ten this year, or at least like it could be three teams that tie for it potentially too. But it just goes to show you, we've been, you know, not trying to hit you over the head with this, but Maryland's, you know, up 13-5 right now. They're going to lose though. Michigan State 12-6, Illinois 12-6, Wisconsin 12-6, Penn State 11-7. So you can see how big that game going on right now is. Iowa 11-7. Only two games out as well. Ohio State, Michigan. So they got eight teams ranked right now. Michigan's 25th. Then you got Rutgers and Indiana. And I figured 10-10 would get you in the tournament. I'm looking at this right now and I'm thinking, yeah, that'll probably happen. So it's not looking good for Maryland losing, right? They just lost to Michigan State. They're probably going to lose here. And then they got to play Michigan at home. So that's not the easiest way to do it, you know. And then I'm looking at Michigan State. They're obviously in a tough game right now. I'm actually going to update it right now to see where they're at. 72-67 with 2:54 remaining. So that is super clutch in there. I mean, they have Ohio State left on theirs too. And then you got Illinois. Well, we already mentioned Illinois' game, so. Could Wisconsin – I think it's going to be Wisconsin or Michigan State, sir.
I'll take the Badgers. It is such craziness. Is that the best word to use? I mean, Maryland right now, who you just mentioned could win the conference, is getting just embarrassed. Rutgers is up 72-54. But, I mean, Rutgers has dominated their home court all year. Just a survivor battle. And you know, I've been saying all year, I can't wait to watch the Big East Conference Tournament. Man, the Big Ten Conference Tournament this year, Chris, holy God, that is going to be, I mean, it should potentially be an incredible tournament to watch, because you're going to have, again, seven or eight teams who could legit win the conference tournament. And now, could all those eight teams make a deep run? No, but come conference tournaments, there is sometimes a mindset where maybe a top seed is a little mentally checked out because they're getting focused for the tournament.
Right.
But the 8 through 12 seeds in the Big Ten
bubbles,
this year.
In the someone that can improve to a 7, or, you know, I could see like a 4th through 8 seed winning the thing this year.
Oh, absolutely. Because you've gotten your butt kicked all year playing all these great teams, so you're used to them, and you clearly have the talent to be there with them. What's to keep you from making a deep run? Yeah, the Big Ten tournament this year, man, is going to be just crazy. So could Wisconsin win it? Absolutely. I mean, I think Maryland wins their last game at home. So, I mean, who knows how the tiebreakers all play out. But, man, what a fun tournament it's going to be. Sparty's up 4 with 1:45 to go. Ooh. So it looks like Izzo's going to win. But, again, that's a long time left on the road. So, yeah, man. And Wisconsin, I remember watching the start of the year. They looked like a pretty pedestrian team. They didn't really have a stud guard. They had this forward named Reavers who was supposed to be pretty good, but hell,
dude, Gophers like 2 weeks ago just destroyed them. You know, they lost a close game this last time, but they beat the hell out of them a couple of weeks ago. They lost their second best player to some, you know, racial issues with the strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah,
like, dude, it's crazy, dude. That's Wisconsin, though. I hate them, but I gotta respect it.
Yeah. So who knows? Wisconsin finishes Indiana, and is Indiana's record great? No, but they have one of the I don't know what the right word is, coolest, most exciting, like
home court
in the whole country. They got kind of a weird layout, but it seems like the arena is probably bigger than it is. But that place is always packed, and I'm sure
it's intense. You're right, it's always loud. They're always nuts, dude. When that team gets good at any time in the last, you know, 34, oh my god, that place is just jumping, dude.
I know.
I mean, obviously it's Indiana, it's like the home of basketball,
but I mean, yeah, hell, that's far from a guaranteed win. Indiana, I mean, the Big Ten, man, it's gonna be super, super, super fun to watch that conference tournament. We're going to get spoiled a lot this year. We truly are going to have a bunch of great games coming up.
Yeah. So, real quick, we gotta start tightening this up here a little bit. UCLA, that's right, UCLA. UCLA is now in first place. They've actually been doing really well Of late anyway, I think they've won six or seven in a row. They have a half game over Oregon, Arizona State, Colorado, USC, Arizona, and even Stanford have winning records in the conference. They're decent teams. I mean, I'm not trying to sell you on them, but it's like, it's been an interesting conference. What else are we going to say before we get to the crappy pick of the week, sir?
No, you're good. You're good. I was going to rant on about something. Nice to see it spaced my mind, so we're good to go.
74-68, buck 31 left. Michigan State still up.
All right, well, I mean, and Rutgers up 72-57, man. Merrill, Jesus, Rutgers, that's such I'll finish with this note before we get to the crafty crap pick of the week. Man, when is the last time this – I believe we looked up. I believe it's been since 93 or 03. It's been over 15 years, however you cut it. I believe it's been 15 years since they've made the tournament. And now you have the Rutgers team who I think is about to get their 17th win of the year at home. Like, how badass of a story is that? I mean, just talk about a coach that deserves some credit because I don't think many – And I believe – I'm pretty sure they're locked in. I know they're not ranked. I know they're not going to win the Big Ten title, as we discussed. But that Big Ten title is a hell of a reward turn this year. But Rutgers will be in the dance. It's fun. You know, we normally hop on the bandwagon for a mid-major conference team to make it. Now you get to hop on a bandwagon for a Power 5 conference underdog making it. So I hope Rutgers wins the game. Who knows what the matchups will be, but – man, Rutgers had a hell of a year. I hope they get rewarded maybe with a win in March Madness. To go back to last week for the crappy pick of the week, Chris picked Denver, and they were hosting Northern Illinois Leathernecks. It was the Denver Pioneers hosting Leathernecks, and Denver Pioneers were able to win 69-63. Denver shot 3 of 18 from deep, so – Chris definitely found a sharp shooting team, but what helped Chris out was Denver got to the line 27 times and made 20 free throws. So Chris had a gut feeling, hey man, you know, we can't shoot the three ball, but the refs like us. We give them a little, you know, stash on the side. And next thing you know, you're getting to the line more. Western Illinois only shot 9 free throws. So
I thought you were going to say 9% from the field, but yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. Now, they did make 8 of 9 free throws, which actually is pretty impressive. And Western Illinois actually shot 11 of 29 threes. So when you get outshot 8 threes in a game and you win, that's actually really impressive. I'm not sure if Chris found that out, but credit to my co-host for picking a game where you shoot 8 less threes and you make 8 less threes and you still find a way to win. Needless to say, that's a pretty good win. I believe that puts us to 3-1-1 on the year, so things are looking up for the boys. Now, if you've not heard the segment before, this is the thing where we've done it for football forever, where you try to find a game where it's two god-awful teams playing against bad teams. You try to find a game that's relatively bad. You just kind of pick it for fun. And we've done it for football now, and I decided to do it for basketball, so it's been entertaining as well. Obviously, with basketball, there's so many more teams, and obviously it's a little more difficult to find. But let's look at this right here because these are two teams who are obviously not making the tournament. This game is Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. You have Northwestern State facing off against Central Arkansas. Okay.
What conference are we? You got to talk conferences, dude. I can't. Okay. There's just too many teams. There's 300 and some odd D1 teams.
This is the Southland standings.
Ooh. Representing Southland, huh?
Now these teams aren't complete trash, but they're definitely 10-19 and 12-15. So the Northwestern State Demons, okay? It looks like they're trying to copy the Duke Blue Devils logo, which I obviously I don't respect them already.
Yeah, and some other logo too, the purple part. Go ahead.
And so they're 12 and 15 on the year, not a great year. They're 9-9 in conference, okay, but the Southland Conference is trash here. If you're 500, that ain't good. And the Central Arkansas Bears, whose logo looks very similar to Maine's logo.
Yeah.
I believe we have some copyright infringement on this game. The Central Arkansas Bears are 10-19 on the year. They're also 9-9 in conference. So this is two teams playing head to head. Okay, they're pretty evenly matched up in conference play, but their records aren't good. When you have 10-12 wins, when you're near my Tar Heels this year for total wins, that shows you've had a very bad season. This game is at the Ferris Center, so a pretty lame name. Okay. It's in Conway, Arkansas, which is a population of 72,000 people, so it's a decent-sized town. And this gym sits 5,500 people. I would not expect a sellout, and I will leave the ticket price up to Chris because I know he always likes to talk about that. So, Chris, in this 3 o'clock matchup Central Time in the state of Arkansas, are you taking the Demons who are trying to copy Duke or the Bears trying to copy Maine's logo? It's your game, my friend. Go for it.
You know, they're like Duke, but with Northwestern colors, but in their Northwestern state. So we have some infringements here, dude. We got to report this. but if you are interested in buying some Central Arkansas Bear tickets from Vivid Seats, tickets start as low as $32 at the Ferris Center. So that's pretty basic. The home squad should win, but God, they give up a lot of points. 82 points a game. I mean, golly, dude.
Jesus. Like,
that's got to be up there for the worst. I can't really think of anything worse than that. They did win the first matchup of the year. So they already, you know, had to go to the Demon. They already had to go to hell, or at least, you know, purgatory for that way. I don't know what that is, but it's hot, I'm assuming. But the Bears, yeah, I'm going to go with the home team. You know, they can't – I think it's going to be a shootout, obviously. There's going to be no defense played in this game, that's for sure. But it does feel like the home club is going to get it done. The Central Arkansas Bears are going to get it done. They're going to beat the Northwestern State Demons. But it's going to – I'm calling overtime. I'm calling overtime, and I'm saying in the high 80s, low 90s, overtime.
I just want to tell you, Chris, I did a quick Google just to drive this point home. There are 353 college basketball teams that are D1. Central Arkansas, giving up 83.3 points per game, is ranked 345th.
Oh, my gosh, that is bad. Wow, I knew they were bad, but geez. That's a lot of D1 teams, dude.
Out of 353, there are only 9 defenses worse than yours. Actually, 8.
Just remember, kids, there's a lot of scholarships out there. You don't have to go to these blue bloods, okay? You got 300 and what was it, 68?
353.
That's a lot of D1. Hey, it's D1, and it's a college education. Remember that, kids.
And you're taking them to win. I respect the call.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they won on the road already, so they're sitting comfy, dude. They're sitting comfy.
True.
Maybe
fair,
that's
fair.
The problem.
All right, well, on that note, we'll have a summary about that game. We'll see if they can hold a team to under 83 points. I doubt it. Chris and I will be back next week. We have a ton of games. Saturday and Sunday are both just loaded with ranked teams. And heck, a lot of times in college basketball, just because teams aren't ranked doesn't mean the games aren't good. So you're going to have
Michigan State looks like they're going to close it out 79-71 with 20 seconds left.
So a nice win by Sparty.
So Michigan State's right back in the picture on number at first place because they just beat Maryland too.
And due to Rutgers being Maryland, well, Rutgers is up 10 points with 47 seconds to go. That should be a W as well. So we'll have the Big Ten to talk about, the ACC to talk about. We'll obviously keep up on the Big East, see if my Creighton boys can get a little luck from Villanova and find a way to win that conference. Now the show gets really, really fun. I mean, our conference tournaments are going to be insane. We both think this is going to be one of the best March Madnesses we've had in a long time. So just make sure you tune in and listen to the podcast. We'll obviously, when we get to the tournament, we obviously break down that we have a show that we make our bracket picks when we get there. But we're also going to obviously break down the conference tournaments because they're going to be just loaded this year. So
yeah, we'll get the bracketology next week too a little bit. I think that helps because we don't have like a line of we can say who we think's going to win the conference, but we don't have a bunch of games to break down because it's the tourney. So I sure. think we'll mix in some bracketology too, just Absolutely. To kind of get a feel of where everybody's at, you know?
And with as big of an event as this, actually some of these smaller conferences actually start their conference tournaments this week. So next week, you get like ACC, Big 12, Big 10, all those conference tournaments. Some of the smaller name ones, you'll start seeing those games on ESPN. And what I love about those, Chris, is the fact that those are like, they're not at a neutral site. Like if you're playing for that Southland conference we just talked about, normally the number one seed gets the home court advantage. And then, so you're trying, so in a way team will be trying to win a conference title on the road, which makes it really even that much sweeter if you're able to beat your best team in your conference on the road. Like, and those small schools, I mean, they want it just as bad as the big ones do. But to go on the road and knock someone off to win a spot in the tournament, you see some crazy celebrations. So things are only going to get better. We enjoy all those who always listen. As I always say, I have a safe, peaceful week at home. The cold weather is hopefully drifting away very, very soon so we can enjoy March Madness with nice sunny weather. The boys are out tonight. Have a great one. Peace.